I told this story about 5 years ago, and I scared a bunch of little children. Everybody's a little older now. I'll be a little more careful so I don't scare anybody. Chris remembers this well. But I want to tell the story of Easter morning. As it happened about around 2,000 years ago. Slightly less, yeah, we're not sure the exact days, but yeah, it'd be just like about 1980 years ago, somewhere in that range there. And, you know, the emphasis in the early church was more on the resurrection than the crucifixion. The crucifixion was there, but the big emphasis, they didn't celebrate Good Friday, they celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And that's what today is, Resurrection Sunday. And the saying, of course, was every Sunday, their greeting was, "He's risen, and he's risen indeed." And to us, those are just kind of empty words because the story happened a long time ago. It's hard to relate to. Now, but I want to just look at through the eyes of some of the people that were part of Jesus' life at the time. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was hanging on the cross dying, which isn't a pretty sight, the cross wasn't a pretty, you know, we use these pretty symbols. I don't like the symbols we use of the cross because it was really much uglier than that. It was probably a better symbol is actually an electric chair. It was an instrument of execution. But here's his mother standing there with a couple other women watching her son dying. Can you imagine, those of you who are parents, how you would feel? And Jesus calls his best friend was John. And Jesus calls John and says, "Will you look after my," you know, Freddy, while he's hanging there, he's thinking of his mother, he says, "Will you look after my mother?" So John took Jesus' mother into his home, and she lived with him for the rest of her life, apparently. How about John, who's just devastated? Here's his best friend dying. I mean, think of for all of them. We've talked about these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, the peacekeepers. And Jesus had walked that out. And you know what? Up till now, it seemed to be working. Like, Jesus was getting more and more popular, and he was doing miracles, and he raised some people from the dead. He could do anything, and he really is God. And they're thinking, you know, the time's going to come soon that he's going to get rid of those Romans. Because at the time, for you kids, you have to understand this. It's not like now where we live in a democracy and have a lot of freedom. And they were a land under occupation, sort of like Afghanistan was under the Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. Okay, they were being ruled by merciless, actually it wasn't even the Taliban, or at least Afghanis. It was being ruled by a country from outside. So if you can imagine, if we were attacked by a foreign country, and they basically forced us to live in little houses, and they took all our money, as much, and they made us work hard, treat us as slaves. And could you imagine, that's how they were living. They figured that Jesus was going to come, and he was going to knock out the Romans. And up till now, it all seemed to be working. And Jesus teaching about this other kingdom was, yeah, this is where, you know, blessed are the people. Jesus is such a peacemaker and it's working. And Jesus is a friend of those who mourn and it's working. And you know, Jesus, he feeds the hungry and it's working. So all this talk about the new kingdom that Jesus was coming was really starting to sink in. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's what? He's dead? What happened? How did the gears get changed so suddenly? And so they're in shock. You know, how about Judas? Judas had been sort of a friend, but he was more interested in the money. He was really into it for what was in it for him. And he'd betrayed Jesus, and then he realized the horror of what he'd done, and he went out and committed suicide. He's a very sad character. Peter. Now, Peter is one of my favorite characters in the story because he's the one who, outside of Judas, messed up the most. And he reminds me kind of myself because he keeps saying and doing the wrong thing and getting his foot in his mouth. The night before, Jesus had said he was going to be crucified and mocked. And Peter had said he was going to stand up for Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter, "No, not a chance. I'll even die with you, Lord." Jesus says, "No, you're going to deny me three times before morning comes." And so, of course, as you know, the story, they go to the garden to pray. Now, the garden wasn't like a vegetable garden like you kids know, okay? Garden was like more like Stanley Park, okay? It was sort of a park-type garden. And the soldiers come in and arrest Jesus, and Peter's in absolute shock. All the disciples have run away except for Peter. Peter follows Jesus to where he's being tried, where the trial is. Jesus is taken to, it's like a house with a courtyard around it. Okay, sort of not unlike the school in a way. If you imagine coming into school and people sit around the courtyard. Then the room beyond is where Jesus was being interrogated. And so Peter's hanging out in the courtyard, and there's a fire to keep warm. And in that time, three times people come up and say, "Weren't you with Jesus?" And he's so scared that he goes, "No, I don't know him." And again, he's asked again, "No, I don't know him." And a third time, he starts cursing and swearing. He says, "I don't know the man." And then the rooster crowed, and Peter at that point realizes that three times now he said he didn't know Jesus after being so firm that he would stand by him to the death. And it says he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine just trying to choke when you realize how stupid you've been, how awful it's been, what you've done? That he went out and he cried, just off by himself. When did this happen? A Good Friday? We don't know. Might have been Good Wednesday. You know, the only reason we say that we think it's Friday, I've shared this with you before, is because it says it was the day before the special Sabbath. But a special Sabbath doesn't have to be a Saturday. It was the day of the Passover. So Jesus could very well have been crucified on Thursday, which would help explain the 3 days and three nights. Or we don't know. But these people really liked Jesus. Okay, they didn't just see him as a political leader. Like, how many of you, I better not ask this. Okay, don't answer this question, but this is the question, okay? How many of you like Stephen Harper, political leader? And if you're a rah-rah conservative going, "Yeah, we like Stephen Harper," or whatever, put any name you want in there, your favorite political leader, but since he's the prime minister, I'll pick on him. Or how many like Gordon Campbell? He's a little closer. "Yeah, we like him." Or how many like Scott Young? "Yeah, we like him. He's a great mayor." Yeah, right. Okay, you put any name there you want. They're the current ones that are there. So this serves my point. Okay, you may like them, but you don't know them, right? I don't know Gordon Campbell from a hole in the ground, nor do I know the mayor, Scott Young. I know the other Scott Young, who also lives in Toronto Street. That creates some confusion, I understand. And I don't know Prime Minister Harper. So even if I like him, I don't know him. But this was different. Jesus, yeah, he was, you know, they were getting it. There's something connection between him and God here, and he's a great man, but we also know him. He's a friend. He likes us. He hangs out with us. You know, to the disciples, he was a buddy as well as somebody who was great. And to all the average people, the people who just knew that their lives wouldn't amount to anything, they loved Jesus because he hung out with them. They'd invite him home for dinner. He'd go. You know, can you imagine Jesus coming to your house for dinner? And he's the kind of a person, even if your house is a mess, you don't seem to have to worry about it. You know, like you know how some people, you come in, if your house is a mess, it's like you just get all embarrassed. And then there's people come in, you know that they really don't care, that they're really there because they like you. And that's what Jesus was like. And now he's dead. Like how could this have happened? Most of those who'd been following Jesus just because he was a political leader had abandoned him by this time. So Jesus is hanging on the cross, and there's this one disciple, Joseph of Arimathea. This is the only time we hear of him. He comes, and he sees Jesus. He goes and asks Pilate if he can have the body. At least he deserves a respectful burial. And do you know who comes along and helps Joseph? Anybody know this? Nicodemus, the guy who a couple years before had come to Jesus in the middle of the night and asked about how does a person get eternal life. And Nicodemus, turns out, had secretly been following Jesus' teachings all along, and he loved Jesus too. He was just kind of scared to say so. So they took him to a tomb. They got some spices, and they wrapped him up as they would do it. And it says Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene really, really loved Jesus. He'd freed her from a demon, and she's in many, many of the stories. She was obviously just Jesus meant everything to her. And it says, and the other Mary, we don't know if that was the mother of Jesus. Mary was a common name. They're sitting near the tomb. They're watching the men bury Jesus. And then they go home. The great hope was over. All this plans, all this excitement, it was over. Jesus had talked about this stupid kingdom that didn't fight with weapons. And look where it got him. Were they confused? Yes. Mad? Probably. You know what you do when you're mad, eh? Oops, sorry, did I hurt you? You know, you walk around, some of you, especially you kids, you walk around kicking things when you're mad? Got your attention, didn't I? I'm sure the emotions were running the gamut. For the next couple days, it was just, first they were scared because they figured Jesus is dead, they're coming for them next. And then everything they've been living and dreaming for, he's dead. It's gone. It's over. It's finished. The Pharisees were concerned. They'd heard that Jesus had talked about rising from the dead. They're the only ones that really got that he said that. And they figured, okay, we got to put a guard there because the disciples otherwise come and steal him away and say he's resurrected, and that'll make things even worse. So they asked for a guard. At any rate, so here it is. The disciples are hiding away in a room, terrified. Everybody's devastated. The dream's over. The guards are sitting outside the tomb. This is a slack job. I mean, these disciples aren't armed. What are you guys doing? Pardon? Okay. They got something they want to show us a little later then. So the guards are sitting outside the tomb. It's a peaceful, quiet night. Silent night. It's quiet. Yeah, they're just guarding it. They're guarding a dead guy. You know, not too much there. And then all of a sudden, there's somebody else there with them. Now, you guys ever watch the show Touched by an Angel? Used to? You know what? The angels come. People go, "Oh, I'm so thankful you came." Apparently, in real life, that's not how angels come. There's something about angels. There's only one thing you can say, most people say when they see an angel. Do you know what it is? Some of these kids remember. Apparently, it's pretty frightening. Have any of you ever thought you'd seen a ghost? I remember one night I was out at a camp, and I was with three of my friends, and all of a sudden this white thing started floating by. And we all started screaming. I was 17. I had my driver's license. We're screaming our heads off because it's this white, there's not much moon. It's this white glowing thing start coming up the hill towards us. And here it was one of the camp counselors wearing a slightly fluorescent T-shirt. We were all very embarrassed, okay? So the guards ran off screaming. And then there's silence. So early Sunday morning, three women, Mary Magdalene, Jesus meant so much to her, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, another lady, first thing in the morning, they're up before dark, they've put some spices together because they want to finish the burial of Jesus. I don't know how they figured they're going to get the stone away from the tomb, but they're walking down to the tomb, and they're probably talking amongst themselves, and they're crying, and they want to get down there, and they get there, and the stone's rolled away. And what's going on here? And they look into the tomb, and they see a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the side, and they're kind of shaken, like disconnect, like, where's Jesus? Why is this shining man in here? A little bit of terror. And the man speaks. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter." Interestingly, Jesus was specifically asked Peter to be told, right? "He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him, just as you told him." Trembling and bewildered, the women went and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were so afraid. Now, the story gets a little confusing here. We're not sure exactly how it happened, but it went something like this. Mary and perhaps the others ran back to tell the disciples, but the message may have been garbled. They probably came off as hysterical women, because women weren't very respected in those days anyways. But Peter is off like a shot. He's up out of the room and heading towards the garden where the tomb is. And John's in hot pursuit. So we've got Peter, who's denied Jesus and who's devastated, and John, his best friend. Off they go. The other leftover nine are still sitting there. John gets there first. He beats Peter. He runs faster than Peter. He's all out of breath. He's standing, panting outside the tomb. Peter gets there. Peter's a bit more like me, maybe a bit out of shape. And he just goes straight in the tomb. He's impulsive. He just goes straight in. There's nothing there. There's no body. Like, what's going on? What's happened now? So they go back to town, but Mary stays there. So she's sitting out the tomb, and she's crying. It's all too much. He's dead. Her one last attempt to show love, and he's gone. And she looks into the tomb again. Now she sees two angels. And they say, "Why are you crying? Like, you've got to be kidding." Okay? Her brain is going into does not compute. Like, we all look back, we know how it ended, but picture yourself, you'd never heard of somebody rising from the dead, and that Jesus raised a couple people from the dead. And they ask, "Why are you crying? You've got to be kidding." She says, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." Now, this is one of my favorite parts of the story. At this point, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. I told you, her brain was fried. She thought he was the gardener, and she says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." And I'm sure, can you imagine how Jesus must have felt when she said that? It's like, and he says, "Mary, look up." She turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. I would love to have had that woman on video, you know. Can you imagine just after all they'd been through? And we don't know the whole conversation, but it sounds like she must have grabbed onto him. And Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." I can sort of see him saying that laughing. "Don't hold on to me, for I've got to return to the Father. Go and tell the brothers. I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary went to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he said to her. And you know, it seems from the text that they figured that Mary had finally completely lost her mind, because they still didn't really believe that he was alive. It appears they didn't know what to think. The tomb was empty, but resurrection was too much to believe. Now they're kind of confused, you know, kind of hope bound with doubt. Could it be true? But maybe what? Huh? Now what? This is crazy. Get this mad woman out of here. Now comes my favorite story in the Bible, because I don't know why Jesus didn't go to the disciples first. He had his own method of doing things. So there's these two disciples, and not part of the 12. One's name is Cleopas. We don't know the other's name. We'll call him Sam. So Cleopas and Sam are leaving Jerusalem and going back to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles. Now, walking 7 miles takes about a 2.5 hour journey, okay? At a moderately leisurely walk, about 2.5 hours. So that's not a bad walk. Some of you probably do that in a Sunday afternoon, eh? Won't today. So they're walking with each other and talking about what had happened. Do you think they were very happy? Maybe a little depressed. As they walked and talked about these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And I don't know why Jesus did this. I don't know if he had a sense of humor. I don't know if he was teasing them. I don't know if he just figured if I do it this way, they'll never forget this lesson. It'll get written up and people will tell it forever. I don't know what was going through Jesus' head. But he asked them some bizarre questions considering all that was going on. He says, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" As if he didn't know. And they stood, their faces downcast. Cleopas asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" said Jesus. "What things? Are you kidding?" I do sense maybe a good-natured sense of humor here, that Jesus was enjoying this moment. I think he probably was. He was setting up for an explosion of joy. He was setting up a story that would be told over and over. Just imagine 20 years later, Cleopas is talking to his grandchildren. Can you believe Jesus said, "What things?" Like, what was he thinking? "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we'd hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels." A vision. See, they don't believe that they really saw angels. They saw a vision of angels who said he was alive. "Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Can you imagine being on that walk? Any of you ever wish you could just sit down and have a talk with Jesus? They didn't know it was Jesus, but later they'd remember every word he said, because what an explanation. And Jesus is sort of having, I think he's still having some fun here. Again, these guys are going to say someday, "You wouldn't believe this, but Jesus told us all this stuff. We didn't even know it was him." They approached the village where they were going, and Jesus acted as if he was going to keep on going. Why did he do that? I don't know, but it makes the story interesting. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared. What? Puff of smoke? I don't know. He was just gone. Go figure. And I'm sure for a moment they sat there. What would your mouth look like if you were sitting there? Show me what your mouth would look like. Let me see your throats. Yes, exactly. Okay, stunned. Then they said, weren't our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Does that happen to you when you hear something, you know, the truth and you know it? So they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, it took them about 2.5 hours to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. After something like that, how long do you figure it took them to get from Emmaus back to Jerusalem? Well, a marathon runner can run about 7 miles in an hour, okay? That's the speed of a marathon runner. So I don't know what sort of shape they were in. So it was only 7 miles, so maybe an hour, okay? Like, I think I would have run as fast as my fat body could have got me there, okay? You think you would have done the same? Because nobody else knows he's alive, and you've been talking with him for 2.5 hours. And so I'm sure that they ran pretty fast. They found the 11 disciples and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And they told what had happened on his way and how Jesus was recognized by them as they broke the bread. And while they're talking about this, all of a sudden Jesus is there. It's not like he walked through the door. Just all of a sudden, puff of smoke. I don't know. Probably just poof. He's there. Again, what would everybody's mouths look like? Show me your throats, okay? You're still in shock. They're startled and frightening because they think he's a what? He's a ghost. And so now they're really scared because ghosts were not good news. They're not really good news then. They were really bad news then. So here's this ghost with them. It was bad enough that he was dead. It was worse that he came back as a ghost. You got to understand that we read the stories about Jesus, people raising people from the dead. But coming back from the dead was not a common occurrence. In fact, if you take all the people in the Bible that Jesus rose from the dead, you could put them in a phone booth and they could still dance the hokey pokey. Okay, so it still wasn't very common. We read the stories and they repeated several books, but there wasn't very many. There was Jairus' daughter and Lazarus. Was there anybody else? I think there's only the two stories that people write. Oh, is there another one? Right, okay, three. Okay. Oh, it'd be a little crowd. Maybe you couldn't do the hokey pokey, but you could put them all in the phone booth, okay? You tight hokey pokey. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why are doubts in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And then he said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they did not yet believe it because of joy and amazement, it's starting to sink in yet, but they're still stunned, right? It could be a ghost, he could be deking us out. And Jesus knows the solution to their doubt. He says, do you have anything to eat? Ghosts don't ask for food. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in their presence. Now, can you picture that? This would be a little awkward, okay? You're sitting there, it's a ghost, and this ghost takes a piece of fish, and he eats it. I'm sure the weirdness of the situation probably broke the tension. Like, Jesus is probably sitting there waiting for somebody to talk, and he just keeps on eating until they get it. The tension starts to break. And Jesus says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled about me and the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures. This is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. You've seen this. I'm going to send you out to tell others. Now, one poor guy somehow wasn't in the room. Thomas. I don't know, did he might have gone out to buy milk or something. I don't know. But he wasn't there. And The other disciples tell him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And he wouldn't believe them. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. Okay, no, again, nobody comes back from the dead other than three people. And they're all in a phone booth. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas is with them. And though the doors were locked, there's Jesus again. Now, this is old hat for the disciples because it's happened before. Jesus just shows up. So they're sitting there, and he says, peace be with you. And they're going, yeah, great. Hi, Jesus. And they're probably all grinning because they're looking at Thomas, who's, I'm not sure what the expression on Thomas's face was, but you could probably see his throat. He's a little stunned. And then Jesus embarrasses him a little bit. He says, Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it at my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas is just, he says, my Lord and my God. He knows that he's probably a little embarrassed, but now he knows what they're saying was true. And I love the story that comes later when the disciples have gone out fishing and Jesus says, come on in. And he's cooking fish on the beach, and that's another one of these things where all of a sudden their nets are full, and they come in, and Peter, recognizing Jesus, jumps out of the boat first and goes swimming in. And I'm sure it was still a little weird for Peter after, because Jesus hadn't talked about this yet, about the fact that Peter had denied him and Peter had said he wouldn't. And you know how it is when you've had to eat a lot of crow, and you put your foot in your mouth, you really boned it up, and you're embarrassed to go back to the person because you were wrong. And Jesus and Peter go for this little walk. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Jesus goes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Like, look after those that I send to you. Jesus asked him that three times. And Peter is, why, Lord, do you keep asking me this? And you know that I love you. And Jesus says, yes, I know that. And Peter knows at that point that Jesus has forgiven him. I love this whole story. Because it comes in the end, the disciples knew that everything Jesus had said was true. That Satan and the power of death was defeated. His teachings about the kingdom of God were true. Even death held no real power. If the only one who'd ever raised others from the dead couldn't stay dead, which begged the question, who raised him? Then God truly was amongst them. And the early, as I shared with you before, the early teachings of the church, why did Jesus come? Was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus had walked that out, and he destroyed the last enemy, death. And if he could die and come back to life again, then they knew they didn't need to fear anything, because even if they died, you might not come back to life again, but the guarantee was there that death wouldn't be the end, and that the last big enemy had been defeated. And so he's risen. He's risen indeed. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this story. And I know we may not understand all the implications of what it means, but it's so good to know that you are alive, that you are for us, and that when you said, blessed are the poor, the meek, the humble, the pure in heart, that you meant that, that we get to live that out in a life that makes sense, is going to make more sense in a world where so many things don't make sense. Would you continue to capture our hearts with your story? And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys, what do you got here? Huh? Oh, and Crystal. Young people, what have you got here? People are hungry. Are you kids hungry? Do you want hot cross buns? No? Okay, let's see what we've got here. Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. And girls? And girl? Okay, have a great Easter. Have a happy Resurrection Day. Father, thank you for the food we have now. Is there chocolate? It might be. Thank you for chocolate, if that's there. We thank you for chocolate anyways. Amen.